Let's go now to Ben McClanahan, our US banking editor, who's been speaking to Doug Landy, who's a partner in the New York office of law firm Milbank, Tweed, Hadley & McCloy. He's been talking about banking regulation, the Dodd-Frank Act in particular, which has just turned 6 years old. And Ben began by asking him how, when you're on, the banks are getting used to the Volcker Rule, which is designed to curb big banks' use of their own capital for proprietary trading.
Well, I think they're getting used to it just fine. I mean, Volcker is 1 year into its effective date. Volcker is the provision that keeps banks from using their own money to proprietary trade or invest in covered funds, which was intended to keep them from doing indirectly what they can't do directly, mm-hmm. which is invest in funds that engage in proprietary trading or do similar things, keeping their own money safe at home. I think banks have generally come to terms with it. They don't want to put the time and effort into spending all the money to compliance with it. But in general, I think they've, you know, basically made their peace with it at this point. Mm-hmm. All banks are required to have an effective compliance regime in place for it, and they largely have done so. What has left to be done are basically two things. The Fed, which is the agency that is charged with making sure that they are largely in compliance at this point, has just granted banks a 1 year extension on the final compliance date, which allows them to take one more year to put in place getting rid of their legacy mm-hmm. covered funds. That'll run through next July 21st of 2017. And that's just for covered funds that banks were invested in before Volcker went into effect, a very small subset. And lastly, for funds that a very even smaller subset, there'll be ultimately potentially an extra 5 years that was in the statute that banks will be allowed to hold on to a very small set.
Looking at some of the second quarter figures for the big investment banks, they all recorded falls year on year in their value at risk. That's a daily measure of the maximum losses on any particular given day. Is this what Volcker was designed to achieve?
Pretty much. I think Volcker, as you pointed out, was designed to keep banks from engaging in speculative trading with their own monies. VAR is a measure of how they are trading. It's hard to separate out whether banks are not speculating with their own money or the markets themselves are less speculative in Right. general. However, I think the feeling is that Volcker has pulled banks out of those markets, and banks are such large traders in those markets that it's probably capturing both those effects at the same time. Mm-hmm. But generally, the feeling is, to the extent banks were engaged in proprietary trading, they're definitely not doing it anymore.
Is the risk simply shifted to another set of actors, such as Citadel, who aren't subject to these laws?
Well, there were a set of sales of proprietary desks from certain banks to the Citadels and the funds of the world before Volcker went into effect. So there was certainly a movement of trading books. But I think also, you know, more broadly, the business has definitely moved from the banking industry to the funds and the non-regulated industries as well.
So if the banks are broadly getting to grips with that Dodd-Frank 6 years on, what's really bothering them when they come to see you, when you go to see them? What's top of their mind?
Well, the banks are very worried now about being able to make certain return on equity targets.
Right.
That's pretty much all they mention at this point. They're concerned about meeting equity targets, being able to raise capital when they need to. And what's driving that is, following Dodd-Frank, the G20 and the U.S. regulators have put in place a system of increasing equity capital requirements. Yeah. The desire is to make the banks safer by having the banks hold more equity capital. The feeling being, prior to the last financial crisis, the banks were undercapitalized. Globally, the banks are now more capitalized, better capitalized. In the United States, the banks are increasingly better capitalized, which makes the banks much stronger and more resilient to handle the next financial crisis. However, holding more equity makes it harder to return a better return on equity for investors. Mm-hmm. As these requirements, which are being phased in, come into effect, the banks are finding it increasingly difficult in a competitive world to return a good return on equity. And this is what they're talking about.
Right, and a good return on equity being what? double digits?
Double digits, definitely.
There's only one bank, as far as I know, that's projected to achieve a double-digit return on equity this year amongst the big six US banks, and that's Wells Fargo. The rest are going to fall short.
Well, I think historically banks were able to achieve double-digit returns on equity. I think they'd like to do that, you know, over a broad period. You know, certainly, you know, any one particular quarter, year, you know, who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But I think looking at sort of the business, looking at what's coming in the next few years in terms of the regulatory environment and the expectations of the regulators as to how much equity the banks will need to generate, and looking at the banks and what they perhaps feel their investors will demand in terms of a return, adding those things up, I think the banks feel that they're going to be very squeezed, and they want to make sure that they're deploying their capital into the right activities and business lines where they can generate an appropriate return.
Right. So does that necessarily imply more shrinkage for the likes of Citigroup or Bank of America that are falling well short of their targets?
Well, I think every bank's going to take a hard line look. What are they spending their money on, both in terms of investing and in terms of expenses? And I think we're certainly seeing that this year as banks look at their expense lines. But I think over, you know, looking in the reverse over the last couple years, banks have certainly been judging which activities they're engaging in. And this goes for not only the big U.S. banks, but certainly the big European and other banks in this country. Where are they going to deploy their capital? Where can we generate an appropriate return? That will increasingly become a challenging exercise over the next couple of years.
Right. And meantime, as the regulators, as you say, keep ratcheting up these extra charges for capital for the biggest banks, do they necessarily care that the banks aren't coming up to scratch on their returns targets? Does an 8% return on equity look attractive in the context of the desire by regulators to create more utility-like banks?
Well, I'd never speak for the regulators, but certainly the banks are speaking to the regulators, and in their comments in publicly available documents, one can see that they're making these arguments to the regulators. And certainly in conferences and speeches, the regulators are hearing these things. So we will see whether, you know, these are things that they're taking into account when they are responding.
Right. And finally, the political picture is unlikely to get much better, judging by the recent conventions by the Democratic Party and also the Republicans. Noteworthy that both platforms contain negative language regarding the banks. There's an explicit call for reviewing Glass-Steagall from both the Democrats and the Republicans. Does that mean that the future for the big banks, whatever happens after November, is unlikely to involve much relief on the regulatory side?
Well, I guess negative's always in the eyes of the beholder, right? But it is interesting that you see both political parties lining up with the words Glass-Steagall in their platforms. That is very unusual, I think, in the last certainly 20 years in U.S. politics. Normally, one would see one party calling for more regulation of the banks and the other party calling for less regulation of the banks. If you look closely at the platforms, you kind of can squint and still see that, with one party, the Republicans, calling for a repeal of Dodd-Frank. The other party, the Democrats, saying that Dodd-Frank is working and calling for what they call a modernization of Glass-Steagall, which in essence calls for more regulation of the shadow banking community, which is really of the hedge funds and certain asset managers. What the Republicans have done is say, well, to repeal Dodd-Frank, but then reinstate Glass-Steagall, which is a surprising position, but may be interpreted as saying, let's unregulate the banks to a large extent, the larger banks, but limit their size. So perhaps invoke a less regulated environment with a lot more smaller banks and just let them compete against each other, which is an interesting proposal, but not one certainly that's been sort of well thought out or well played out in their platform.
Doug Landy, thank you very much for joining me.